This is a national health care alert from the Health Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You could qualify for a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost to you. Get free delivery, and all the paperwork is handled by our accredited suppliers at no charge to you. So if you're on Medicare and have knee pain, don't wait. You may qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost. Friendly agents are standing by 24/7 to help you. We also have other pain-relieving braces, too, for your shoulder, ankle, or back. You may be eligible to get these items and more at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Our friendly representatives are standing by now to help you, so please call now.
Call 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301. Again, 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301.
On investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
All right, welcome to the program. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, we're back once again. Time to get going with the best in strategy advice, the best in money information. I am here, Professor Plum, certified financial planner, with me from Lucia Capital Group. So we got some folks on hold. We're going to start it off with your phone calls because I know we want to take care of those first. So if you're on hold, just hang like 60 seconds and we'll be with you very, very quickly. We've got a few other things to talk about this hour, not the least of which has to do with tax brackets. We talked a little about this on Friday. We've had questions on this, many questions on this. And we're going to get into this thing on tax brackets, which sort of we're going to try to explain anyway, the difference between marginal and then average or effective or whatever you want to call it, tax brackets. So you might not know this. Did you know that if you're in, say, the 25% marginal tax bracket, you're not necessarily actually paying 25 cents for every single dollar that you earn? This is confusing to a lot of people. Now, some are aware of how the tax brackets work. Many are not, but either way, we're going to talk about it because knowing the tax brackets, knowing what it means, how much taxable income you have, what about AGI? That's a big step toward proper planning for retirement, and that, of course, is why we're here. You keep it right here for more of that. That's coming up a little bit later on. Also going to talk some about this whole, I hate it, Brexit, okay, whatever, British exit, European Union. What really matters to us is, of course, because we're here in America, what matters to us is our portfolio. What's happened with the stock market? Is the big question. So anyway, we'll talk about that with Professor Plum. Other stuff to be aware of as well. You can call us right now with your money questions. I said that we have some lines open right now. You line them up, you get your money questions into the Brain Trust. We'll take your calls immediately. Our number, 877-PLANNER. That's 877-752-6637. We do have some emails to get to as well. You want to add to that stack, you go over to wealthed.com, our website, click on the Find Your Answer link there near the top of the page. Our advisor in chief, yes, Professor Rick Plum, here with us again today, courtesy of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group. You need to get a strategy. As if I needed to say this after all the market stuff that we've had over the last couple of days and are likely to have for a little while anyway. You need a strategy that addresses your needs, your goals, keeps you sane, all right? Keeps you in balance, keeps you from being emotional in the market, and aims to anticipate what could go wrong during the distribution of phase of your retirement, like we said last week. Things can change quickly. You call our advisory team at Lucia Capital Group at this number, 800-644-1150. Talk to any of them. If you're afraid, panicky, worried, concerned, just give them a call, and they'll talk to you. They'll meet with you, too. Get your bucket strategy put together. Again, 800-644-1150. All right, Professor Plum, we got a lot of stuff to talk about, but let's take a couple of calls. We will begin this hour, 877-PLANNER. Still some lines open. Let's go to Jim in Oakland, California up first. Hello, Jim.
How you doing today?
I'm well. How are you?
Not too good. Here's the situation. My Genworth long-term care program here has kind of blown up on me. I invested in this 10 years ago, you know, like I was supposed to, trying to do the right thing, and now 10 years has gone by. And I got a notice the other day that they're raising my rate that they promised to keep constant the whole time by 26% over the next 3 years. See? And so I called the gal that sold me this, who I knew from when it was part of GE. I used to work at GE. I retired from there.
Okay.
And I asked her what's going on, and she said, well, it's just, you know, I got the same notice you did, and it's it's just kind of bad news. And we went on to talk about this, that, and the other. And she said, you know, back when you bought this, there was 100 companies in the long-term care business, and now there's 6.
Right.
And of those 6, Genworth owns 35% of the market, or the problem, depending upon how you want to see it. And this notice said that, you know, the costs are anticipated to be higher than what they were when you got it, blah, 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 and so on. So the bottom line is you've got to start paying more, see?
Right.
So I think it's a whole scam. I think they had this in mind from the beginning.
Well, they did not have it in mind from the beginning.
On the hook from the beginning, and then once they got 10 years' worth of premiums in on them, they dropped this little bomb on them, see?
Right, but, well, now, to say that the conspiratorial, that they had this in line at the beginning, I don't believe that necessarily is a true statement. They have always had the right to raise the premium within it. There was a expected premium, which is what you were sold, and there was a high-end, you know, what they could potentially charge if things didn't work out as they want. Every long-term care policy that I've seen has the language in it that the long-term care company can raise premiums, not on individuals, but on a class of policies or all policies. Now, you mentioned it was only for 3 years that they were going to raise the rate.
Well, no, here's the deal. They were putting in a 26% increase, and that increase is spread over 3 years, so it doesn't hit you too hard, you see.
And you're not going to like my statement, but 26% is one of the lowest increases from all the companies out there I've heard about. I've heard about some in the 90% raise areas. Unfortunately, the long-term care companies, whoever you were talking to is correct, there used to be a ton of companies out there doing this, and they found, a lot of them found that they could not make a profit at it when they got going with it. The assumptions that were being used 10, 15, 20 years ago were way low on their, what they call the morbidity tables, the amount of benefit they were going to have to pay out. The assumptions that they were using on what the general account of the insurance company could earn, which in large part is based on interest rates, have not come anywhere close to what they thought they were going to earn. So from a actuarial standpoint, looking forward, looking at what the anticipated costs were and the revenues they could generate from the money they were collecting from you in premiums, they are way underfunded for those particular policies. And unfortunately, the premium has always had it. Now, it was always sold, or in many cases it was sold where, here's the premium, you pay this, you'll be fine. And nobody ever talked about the fact that the premium could go up. Unfortunately, that's just an underlying issue of the policy. It's kind of like a universal life policy, insurance policy that was sold with a specific premium back in the day. And when the assumptions underneath didn't live up to it, they had to pay more into those as well. That was unfortunate from a sales standpoint. But now the question is, you're still doing the right thing. I mean, if long-term care was an issue 10 years ago, it's a bigger issue now because you're 10 years older and you're closer to the point in time, not necessarily close to the point in time, but closer to the point in time where you might actually need the policy to pay off. And so usually when they do these rate increases, they will look at other areas to help you keep the policy premiums down, like a reduction in the cost of living allowance, an increase in the surrender period, not surrender period, the, what do you call it? The waiting period.
The waiting period.
Losing my mind. To try to help you pay for the policy and keep it in force, but it won't be the same policy that you originally bought. It'll be a lesser benefit of some form, either longer before they start making the payments or not as much cost of living allowance as we go. Some of them will even reduce the time that they pay depending upon the length of the benefit period that you purchased. But unfortunately, in the long-term care world right now, this has become just a gigantic fact of life, and it's not fun, but it is there. And now it's just a matter of what choices do we have. Do you get rid of it? I don't think that's a good idea. Do you continue with the increase? Do you pare it back by changing the benefit a little bit? That has to do with you, your needs, and what you're expecting to get out of this over time.
Yeah, well, I'm not happy about any of this.
No, I understand.
And the way I see it, first of all, you know, after I got this notice, I started to fiddle around on the internet, and I read an article from New York Times that said that they anticipated in the front end that people would pay this for 2 or 3 years and then drop out. And that didn't happen. That people kept paying. See, so I mean, their business plan included people dropping out because that's what the article in New York Times said. See,
well, all policies, all insurance policies have a lapse assumption in them, whether or not they were way off base on their lapse assumptions. I mean, even whole life, universal life, term life, they all have a lapse assumption. They have, it basically goes to part of the actuarial assumption of how much benefit's going to actually be paid out, and some of it has to do with the fact that X number of people are going to die that have the policy, which means no policy on a long-term care policy, nothing is being paid out. X number of people are going to give it up because they either decide they don't need it or they can't afford it. So those are all part of it. Now, yeah, whether or not those numbers were dramatically off base, I don't know. I've not heard that their assumptions on lapse issues were way off base. But every life insurance policy out there has that built into it, into its pricing model, because it is a huge fact of life that a lot of policies don't last. Not because the insurance company doesn't last, because the people get tired of paying the premium and they stop, or they can't afford to, and they just flat out lapse the policy. So that is an assumption. Now, as I said before, I don't know if that was something that was way off base, but if 2 years, if they said within a year or two or three they expect this number of policies to back off, the answer is yes, they have that lapse provision in there. Not provision, expectation in there. The question is, were they way off base on it? They knew that people were going to keep these. This was not a policy like selling a 25-year-old a universal life or a whole life policy where 99.9% of them lapse in the first 3 years. Long-term care was expected to have a much longer tenure on the policyholders. I don't know if they're way out of line on their assumptions on the lapses on that.
Yeah. Hey, Jim, if you have any other questions, you can hang on. We can talk to you a little bit more about this. This is like the third or fourth time we've heard from somebody over the last week.
And nobody's happy about it.
Nobody's happy about it. Exactly. But there is that provision. At least we've seen them in each one of these policies that allows them to do that. All right. Jim, I appreciate the call. If you have questions, hold on. 877-PLANNER. PLANNER, Johnny Dean, the Professor Rick Plum, the Brain Trust, returns after this.
Some people willingly take on risk, like skydivers. They may find risk exhilarating. Most of us would rather avoid risk. When it comes to investing strategies, many investors want to keep their feet on the ground and reduce their exposure to risk. A risk buffer strategy through the purchase of an annuity contract is designed for investors who want the potential for growth when the markets are positive, potentially with some protection from losses when they're not. If you're concerned about stock market volatility and the threat of another market collapse, learn where a risk buffer strategy may fit in your investment mix. You may be able to cover losses to a certain extent when markets decline, but potentially enjoy a reasonable amount of growth when markets rise. Watch an informative short video to learn exactly how a risk buffer strategy works at riskbuffer.com. That's riskbuffer.com. A risk buffer strategy involves purchase of a variable annuity, which is a long-term investment product. Guarantees are based on the claims paying ability of the issuer, subject to their terms and conditions. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. A December 2015 Gallup poll found that nearly three-quarters of those surveyed expected this year to start with stock market volatility. Their concerns were valid. According to CNN and other sources, this January was the worst month in the stock market since 2009. But even though we may have anticipated stock market declines, are we prepared for them? Are we prepared if we should see another market meltdown like 2008? Lucia Capital Group invites you to discuss your retirement strategy and review your exposure to potential portfolio losses if stocks stumble. What alternatives to stocks and bonds might you consider adding to your investment mix? Schedule an appointment with your local Lucia Capital Group advisor now. The consultation and review of your current financial plan is free. Call 800-644-1150 to schedule an appointment. That's 800-644-1150. And learn more at wealthed.com. Wealthed.com. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member SIPC, and a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, a registered investment advisor. All investments are subject to risk, including loss of principal.
QL1, you've been talking a lot about Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans lately. What would you say is the best reason to use it?
It's easy to use. You can get approved in minutes. It's convenient.
Hey, QL1, I asked for the best reason.
Oh, hold on. I wasn't finished. You can share your pay stubs and bank statements at the touch of a button, so you get real numbers, not estimates, and...
3, 2, 1.
Rocket Mortgage at QuickenLoans.com. Push button. Get mortgage.
Rocket.
Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org number 3030.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
A Napa guy knows not to judge a man by his car's multicolored paint job or absence of modern gadgetry. Who cares if it's technically old enough to vote and the windows are powered by the strength of your left arm? Your monthly payment is zero, and it'll stay that way. Because with over 400,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep anything on the road. She may not be pretty, but she's all yours. That's Napa know-how.
Well, chances are you've heard. Are you laughing? Oh, because we don't.
Gosh.
Little math is for you.
Chances are. Well, the fact that you were able to blend it seamlessly into although not so seamlessly, because it basically quit right after you said it.
Well, this is what we do on this program. Chances are you have heard that the British are exiting this whole.
European Union.
It was a referendum is what it was, a vote. It's not really even a legally binding vote in Great Britain. It's just a referendum saying this is what we want to have happen. Now, the government can go against the will, and there's a petition out there somewhere among other people who wanted to stay in the EU to ignore this referendum. The political leaders, kind of like here in America, they're not going to go necessarily against people who are making a vote because they're afraid for their own political sins. Anyway, the whole thing about that has reverberations across the global financial markets, and that's really what we're going to talk about here for just a moment or two. You've seen now last Friday, I think it was down 500-600 points, something like that. The Dow, S&P down quite a bit last Friday. And then today, it's continuing. And the interesting thing is, we saw a drop, Professor Plum, of about 10% in the 10-year. That went from 1.7 or so to 1.58 or something like that. I don't remember where it closed.
And it's down again
on
today.
On Friday, it's down again today. We're actually approaching almost new lows, historical lows for the 10-year.
10-year Treasury yields, yes.
10-year Treasury yield. It was around 1.46 or so last time I looked. I don't know where it is right now. Is it about there?
Still there. Okay. At least according to Yahoo and some.
All right, yeah. So we're the data that we have. S&P. Now the S&P was getting close to its all-time high, and
at one
all of
point,
a sudden
we
had a little reversal of trend last week, and then we're seeing things correct a little bit. Now here's what normally happens. Some weird thing happens somewhere. All right.
Whether it's political, natural disaster, man-made disaster.
Something here in the
something
U.S.
Something that scares us.
Something that we find very, very scary. Exactly. And what people do as the emotional, irrational side takes over. People start to get a little afraid. One person jumps off the cliff. The other lemmings follow. And then things tend to happen. Computerized trading happens. And things start to really snowball, as we've seen happen. I don't think even a whole lot of people understand or even necessarily care in this country about what the Brits do, about what
Well, how many people actually understood what the European Union did or was about or why that was even there? At least people in the U.S.
Well, yeah, because we're here, we're isolated. We got two oceans on either side. You guys do what you do and leave us out of it. But, I think a lot of people never even heard of this until a week ago or 2 weeks ago and never even paid a whole lot of attention to it. Kind of a big deal there, but as I said, what's the problem here in this country is it's hurting things for many people financially. I think I saw something like over $2 trillion in wealth, paper wealth, was destroyed last Friday alone, which, by the way, is a new record. That beat the one in September or whatever it was of 2008 that erased about $1.8 trillion of paper wealth in one day. Now, here's where we get into the discussion, Professor Plum, and we'll just throw this out there for people. You know, crises happen all the time. Historically, they've happened. We've been looking all the way back. Ray Jr., who was putting something together on this whole idea that people shouldn't bail out at the wrong time, and he's really right. Went back and took a look at some of these historical things that have happened, and you look back at some of the crises in America.
Going all the way back in modern history, there.
Well, I mean, the attack on Pearl Harbor. You know, you had the Cuban Missile Crisis, Kennedy assassination, Nixon resigns. The U.S. attacked Cambodia, remember? You've got the Grenada. Yeah, remember that? No? Well, it happened on a day, a couple hours. But that caused a little bit of a problem, the 87 stock market crash.
It was a big crash, but it was fairly short in duration.
Yes, it was. And as
far as markets go, short in duration.
Yeah, and the list goes on. You have long-term capital management. I think that was back in the late 90s. You had the September 11th attacks, the Iraq invasions, Gulf Wars, and Lehman Brothers. All this stuff, okay? And what happened in each one of those?
What's happened, though? That doesn't mean that this particular downturn is going to act like the last downturns we've had in the market. But so far, a couple of years later, maybe, and sometimes longer, sometimes shorter, the markets figure it out. They figure out that they either overreacted or they figured out a way to overcome whatever the issue was. And they're able to proceed on their normal course of action, which over time has been a positive trajectory, just going up a little bit. Now, how much it goes up, when it will recover, if it will recover, that's yet to be determined on this one. But when is the downturn not expected? Now, this was a little bit bigger. It was unexpected from the standpoint that up until like a day or two before, people believed, the experts believed that the British people would vote to stay in the EU. So it kind of took them by storm. And I think that's where people are reacting more than anything else. It was the unexpected. And because of the potential exit of the British government from the EU, it's an unknown event happening over the next several years. And the market hates uncertainty. And so the people that do watch the market are looking at it from, you know, an uncertainty standpoint. And then the rest of us are just looking at it going, oh, this is terrible times. We've got to get out. And so it just feeds upon itself. It's like the computerized trading.
Yeah.
When the market goes down X, certain triggers happen. They start selling, which force the market down more, which triggers more selling, force the market down more, triggers more selling. And then today it continued on a little bit.
Okay, so really the question is this: how are people supposed to react? Now, my immediate answer is they shouldn't react. They should keep doing whatever it is they've been doing. What do you say?
I say the same thing. This is not outrageously unexpected. It's not so far out of the norm that it took everybody by surprise. Markets go crazy at times. And that's the expected part of the overall stock market. There is nothing you can do to predict what will happen on a day-to-day, week-by-week basis, even month-by-month. I mean, come on. It's the market is a volatile area. And so if you think that you're going to be able to predict before and be able to get in and out at the right times based on information that doesn't even exist, you're fooling yourself. And that's why you have to have the time horizons in place to be able to withstand the downturns that are inevitable.
Yes, keep in mind, as we've said many times, if you're going to try to time the market, you've got two decisions to make, not one. You've got two. You're going to try to decide when to get out of the market, number one, and then you've got to try to decide when to get back in. Where's the top? Where's the bottom? I've never known anybody who can successfully do this, even over a moderately short period of time, much less a long period of time.
And so this could be a flash in the pan. Who knows? It could be a prolonged, you know, economic downturn. Who knows? But you need to have the resources to be able to wait out at least the initial parts of it so that you can look and see what's happening with the rest of time. Do not react to the market. The market is a reaction of us because we're reacting to some news, and usually we're reacting in a negative fashion.
Yeah. The markets historically have recovered from everything. that we so see that we've thrown at it. Well, as I said, historically,
there are individual stocks that will not recover.
No, but the market's in whole. If you're going to be gambling with individual stocks, that's a whole other story. We're not talking about that. The markets as a whole have recovered historically.
Every time so far.
So far. Now, we're not saying that they will this time. I have a hunch that they probably will, just based on some of the really bad stuff that we've seen go on. So keep a long-term perspective. That's our advice to you. Okay, 877-PLANNER, room on the phones. We'll be talking tax brackets and a whole lot more when we come back on Bucket Strategy Investing.
Are you worried we may see another stock market drop like the 2008 collapse? In a new video, Ray Lucia Jr. comments on investor concerns.
They're worried about what happens when this bull market eventually ends and how severe of a downturn there may be for them in the future.
If you're looking for some potential protection from volatility, learn about the risk buffer strategy by watching a free video now at riskbuffer.com.
For those investors who want to take some risk off the table of their longer-term portfolios, a risk buffer strategy may be appropriate for you.
Depending on the investor, there are many ways this strategy may potentially be added to your investment mix. Please take 10 minutes to watch a free video in which Ray Lucia Jr. explains the risk buffer strategy and how it may work for you at riskbuffer.com. That's riskbuffer.com. A risk buffer strategy involves purchase of a variable annuity, which is a long-term investment product. Guarantees are based on the claims-paying ability of the issuer subject to their terms and conditions. Ray Lucia Jr. is the CEO of Lucia Securities, LLC, member FINRA SIPC, an affiliate of Lucia Capital Group.
If you were born on or after January 2nd, 1954, listen carefully. Recent changes enacted by the Social Security Administration as part of the Bipartisan Budget Act of 2015 may impact your Social Security benefits. The policy that previously enabled spouses at full retirement age to claim spousal benefits while allowing their own benefit to grow has been discontinued. This could mean the accrual of additional benefits may no longer be available to you. Changes will also soon be implemented regarding file and suspend claiming strategies. Find out the latest rules, regulations, and restrictions by calling the Social Security Hotline at 800-838-0483. The call is free and may clarify some of the new Social Security rules that could affect your benefits. If you were born after January 2nd, 1954, you could be affected. Call 800-838-0483. 800-838-0483. The Social Security Hotline is not endorsed by or a service of the Social Security Administration or any government agency. Lucia Capital Group is not affiliated with the Social Security Administration.
After a rough day on the range, a fella can get a bit saddle sore. That's why I use Blue Emu Original Super Strength Cream. It works fast and penetrates deep to soothe my tired muscles and joints.
And he don't stink.
And I'll tell you one thing. I had no idea this stuff was so darn handy.
Blue Emu Original Super Strength Cream. Available at all major retailers. It works fast for long-lasting soothing of tired muscles and joints.
And you won't stink.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, the first step is yours. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-463-1749. 800-463-1749. That's 800-463-1749. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC-32.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
6533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
Have you heard about BizTV? BizTV is the home for America's entrepreneurs, small businesses, and those who want to succeed in life. It's the only national television network committed to airing original, high-quality, educational, and inspirational programming about real business people. BizTV can provide the right kind of ideas, motivation, and education to help fuel the next generation of business owners. Visit BizTV.com and call your satellite or cable service provider to request BizTV.
Market strategy investing here for you every day, answering your money questions. Hey, we've got lines open for you, 877-PLANNER. You got questions on your retirement plan, on your strategy. Do you need a strategy? Do you need to know if you can retire when you want to retire? Are you going to have enough income to retire? Are you going to have enough Social Security? We're going to get to some emails as well, but you can give us a call because we do take our phone calls first. 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER, 877-752-6637. Room on the phones for you right now to ask your money question. Now, we had some questions last week on taxes, and we don't just get them last week. We get them all the time. And this gives us a chance, Professor Plum, every once in a while to talk about actual tax brackets. Now, I think most people believe that if they're in a certain tax bracket and they look it up, they say, here's how much I made. I appear to be in, say, the 15% tax bracket, mm-hmm. or whatever tax bracket you're in, that all my money is taxed at that particular level. So it doesn't matter. If I'm in the 15% tax bracket, every dollar I make until I hit the next tax bracket is going to be taxed at that particular level. 15%, I make $1,000, I'm going to pay $150 in taxes. Now, as soon as I go up into the next tax bracket, the 25. 25.
Currently 25 is next.
Right. So you go into the next tax bracket of 25. As soon as I'm into that bracket, every single dollar I make is taxed in the 25% bracket. Now, it would seem like a simple thing to understand, but really it's not because it doesn't work that way, does it?
Well, income is blocked into different brackets, and there are certain amounts of money that you can have in a certain block of that tax bracket. And once you go past that, generally, the block that you've already passed over, it filled up, doesn't change again. Yeah. That stays. So once I've filled up the 15% bracket, that money stays at 15. Now I'm working at filling up another block of income in the 25% bracket until I fill that up. But it does get more complicated then, because everybody wants to talk about, well, what is my marginal bracket? That's what that new block you're filling up is. But is that really the true income tax bracket you're in? Because a lot of times when you start adding income to your overall, you know, pie, you start losing deductions, you start losing tax credits. And so while you're still in that 25% bracket, you're losing out on something else. While you're in the certain brackets, you start losing out on something else. So you want to know, what is that last dollar? Or what am I paying on average across the board? Unfortunately, there's no clear definition. There's the accountants that do your tax return, they use certain numbers, effective tax bracket, that's kind of like an average bracket, but they're not basing that tax bracket on your total earnings. They're just basing it on the taxable earnings. And taxable earnings are after all the deductions. And they're also basing it on your taxable income, the taxes that you pay based on your taxable income, but that tax number you actually pay is after the tax credits that you receive, whether it's a child tax credit or one of the other tax credits that are available to you. So it's not really a true reflection of where you are on the income tax scale as far as what the new income is going to cost you as far as taxes. And it really doesn't give you an idea of, if somebody says, okay, you make $100,000, what's your average tax bracket? Well, it depends on a lot of different things, and not everybody's going to have all of those different things. So what is my average bracket? Well, it may be 9 or 10%, but that new dollar that I'm putting on costs me 25%. So what are we trying to get to? When we're asked the question, what's my tax bracket? We need to know why we're asking it. Is it because we want to find out how much of an effect that IRA deduction may get us, that 401k contribution may get us? Or is it how much of a tax is going to be created if with that bonus that I just received, or with doing a Roth conversion? How much, where am I looking at? Some people say, well, you pay taxes at the average bracket. Well, on the overall look of things, and because money is money, you know, what dollar did I pay? What about that last dollar?
Yeah, see, and that's where the big, that's the real question there. Because I can look and see what I made or what I've made so far this year. And I can say, okay, well, I can divide this out. I made $100,000, but that was after deductions and this ad and all that stuff. And I paid, I don't know, you know, $2,000 in taxes. Whatever. I don't know what the number is. And I say, okay, well, then I am average. My effective bracket is 20%. But the real question that needs to be asked is, what is the next dollar going to cost me?
Right.
Does that mean that that next dollar, is I'm going to pay 20 cents on that next dollar? It may not, right?
Or what am I going to save if I have a deduction? If I, you know, show
exactly.
Some type of, what is it going to cost? What am I going to save? Am I going to save the average? No, I'm going to save the top end because it comes off the top. Not, it doesn't come right out of the middle. You don't necessarily pay it at the average. I mean, it's, you have to look at it.
Your average is after everything is said and done. The
right.
Question is, what is the next dollar?
How do I affect that average? And how much of an effect will that new dollar of income or that new dollar of deduction affect my average?
Right, because the average is a reflection of your deductions, your credits, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, I don't want to get too technical here. We're going to explain a little bit more about this to understand how much, and this all goes into planning too. This is what your planner, your financial advisor should be going over with you when they talk to you. They should understand how tax brackets work. They should understand that your next dollar that you make or the next $1,000 that you make may or may not be taxed at the income marginal bracket that you're in. All right, 877-PLANNER. I do want to take a few more calls. 877-PLANNER. Understanding taxes and brackets and all that stuff is important, and we're going to explain a little bit more of this after a call or two. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. Let's move along next to James in Sonoma, California with a question. Hello, James.
Hello, gentlemen. I have I've talked to you before. I have a question on, we were sitting over at Starbucks talking here a couple days ago. A bunch of us sitting next to getting close to retirement.
Okay.
We were wondering, on Medicare, I know it pays in the United States, but does it pay in the territories, let's just say, and we're just going to say U.S. Virgin Islands?
I believe...
You know, a U.S. territory. And the second part of the question is, and we all think we know the answer to that one, is if we keep a home in California, where am I going to pay taxes? And I'm going to assume that's going to be California, but I'm just sort of curious.
We'll take the first one first, and there are programs in the U.S. territories for Medicare. Now, it may not be the same amount that is being done here. I also know there are programs for people on limited incomes in those areas to help pay for Medicaid and Medicare in those territories. So there are. It's not like living in a foreign country where the U.S. does not pay for the Medicare. But I don't know if it's the full game of Medicare. That's not something I've ever looked up, but I do know that they have programs for medical and Medicaid in the U.S. territories. So I'm assuming that also means that there's Medicare in those U.S. territories, Guam, U.S. Virgin Islands, mm-hmm. Things like that. As far as the second one, the house that you're going to maintain in California, is it going to be considered your primary residence?
I don't know. I don't know if I would just lease it out or if I would just close it up and say spend 6 months in the Virgin Islands. You know, I think that was our idea. We're just going to, you know, we just leave our houses here and just go down to the Virgin Islands for 6 months. But if we, you know, fall off a curb or get run over by a car, we just want to make sure that we have some sort of medical insurance.
Well, there is a part-time California resident. Many states will look at it as, how much time do you spend in the state? What incomes did you derive while you were in the state? And so they'll let you, you know, basically pro rata. But if you are considering California as your main state of residence, you're registered to vote there, your cars are registered there, all the things that go along with being a resident of the state, then you'll pay taxes on all the income that you have in the state of California. If you were to stay out of California, if you were to treat the property as a rental property all the year, not just part of the year, or it was just a vacation property for part of the year, then those are different scenarios. But if you're going to live in it 6 months and not live in it 6 months and outside of the, then you're a part-time resident and you have to figure out whether or not that's your primary residence or not. There are a series of questions and rules to determine whether that is your state of residence If you're a state, if you're a resident of California, you get to pay taxes in California. If you're a part-time resident, then you pay part-time taxes. You pay it on what the income was generated during that period of time that you were a resident or part-time in that state.
Oh, this sounds very complicated.
Oh, it is. And if you did happen to lease out the property and just said, you know what, I'm going to live in the Virgin Islands permanently, but we're going to keep this property in case we ever want to come back and kick the renters out, but it's going to be rented for the full year, then California will still want the tax return based on the California source revenue. The money that's being generated by a property in California, you would still have to file a California tax return for that income from that property. Even if there was no other income coming through California, that income is being generated in California. California wants its piece of the pie.
Well, the only income I would have in California would be the actual lease. Everything else is going to be dividends and interest and all that stuff.
You know? Right, but if you're a resident of California, you get to pay taxes on it. And even a part-time resident gets to pay taxes on part of it.
Oh, lucky me. All right, well, thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it.
Okay, James, thank you. I hadn't thought, well, of course, I'm not on Medicare yet, but I hadn't thought about that if you're living
Medicare only pays the U.S., basically U.S. Areas.
Right, and if you happen to be, I mean, if you're visiting somewhere, well, even then, you're not going to be able to...
If you're visiting outside of the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
and you have to go to the doctor for whatever reason, people get hurt on vacation, people get hurt,
sure.
or they get sick, or... your Medicare doesn't cover that.
No, it doesn't. Now, if you happen to be in a place where it is covered, like I know England...
They've got universal.
They've got universal, and so there's no cost to you. But, yeah, you may be in a place where that isn't where that doesn't happen. U.S. territories. Okay, we've got more to talk about. We have a lot more on taxes and explaining some of the stuff, how these brackets work, why it's important to you. But anything that's on your mind, as you just saw, you give us a call. We will answer the questions for you here on the air. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, 877-PLANNER. Brain Trust returns on Bucket Strategy Investing.
If you're investing in the stock market, you know there may be reward, but you know there will be risk. So consider this. Would you sacrifice some of the gain you may get with your investments if you could potentially reduce some of the risk and potentially cut some of your losses? If you answered yes, you need to learn about a risk buffer strategy. With a risk buffer strategy, an insurance company insures your investment for a certain percentage of loss over a given period of time, and you determine the level of protection you get. Watch a short video at riskbuffer.com. That's riskbuffer.com. That explains how you can potentially reduce risk when the market may be down, but still capitalize on stock gains. Can you find a way to manage risk in unpredictable markets? Watch the video at riskbuffer.com. Riskbuffer.com. A risk buffer strategy involves purchase of a variable annuity, which is a long-term investment product. Guarantees are based on the claims-paying ability of the issuer, subject to their terms and conditions. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. This is a special invitation for business owners or human resources managers representing companies of 50 or more employees. The retirement planning strategists at Lucia Capital Group will travel to your city and present a customized private retirement planning seminar for your employees. Rick Plum and Terry Keyes have spoken to thousands of individuals about planning for retirement and address their concerns about outliving their money, stock market volatility, managing taxes, company-sponsored retirement benefit plans, and more. Now they're available to speak to your organization. This is a convenient way for your employees to get their retirement questions answered and learn how a plan can be designed to integrate all of their retirement resources. Call Lucia Capital Group to schedule a private retirement planning meeting. Call 800-644-1150. That's 800-644-1150. Rick Plum and Terry Keyes are registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer, member SIPC. Lucia Securities is a wholly owned subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, a registered investment advisor. All investments are subject to risk, including loss of principal.
Have you heard? Proactive Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited-time offer. Give us a call at 800-726-1031, because we're going to let a million people try Proactive Plus risk-free and get two free gifts, and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactive Plus now, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactive Plus, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 800-726-1031. This is our exclusive radio offer, never on TV.
Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Call 800-726-1031. That's 800-726-1031.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
Market strategy investing, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. Talking about your money, we're doing so throughout this hour. There's another hour coming up in most cities across the country, so we'd love for you to join us. If you don't get us in those cities, you can certainly go to WealthEd, W-E-A-L-T-H, WealthEd.com. You can watch us online there, watch us live through a whole bunch of different sources, too. We're on both television and radio, internet, etc., across the country. If you're on BizTV or WealthEd.com, you knew that, but you can also hear us on radio stations everywhere. And by the way, as a special treat, we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook. You can like us on Facebook, you can follow us on Twitter. What you do is you search WealthEd, W-E-A-L-T-H. If you're on Twitter, you know how to do that. You're on Facebook, even I can search it on Facebook, believe it or not.
But not the Twitter.
The Twitter, the Google, the internet, the whole thing there. The Reddit? Is there something about the Reddit? That's what I heard.
Don't know what that is.
We're such idiots. I mean, are we morons or what?
When it comes to the social side of things, yeah, probably.
You know, this is guys like us, you know, we're in our 50s. We're like our parents, you know, and you know, we got off the train years and several stops back. All right? We said this is a good place. I'm going to live here. The rest of society and all the young people, they kept moving.
By.
They're on doing their thing. And here we are, you know, stuck in wherever it is we happen to be. And I'm perfectly fine with that. But you can do that. You can follow us. Like us. In fact, we had a couple of comments and questions on Facebook. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to read them. I may find out if I am. And if so, we'll do that. We'll read them live here on the air. Get us in as part of the discussion. Facebook and Twitter, WealthEd, W-E-A-L-T-H. All right, there you go. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. All right, now tax brackets. I don't want to get too complicated. It can get complicated, Professor Plum.
Oh, yeah, very quickly.
Here's where I think most people are really, what they need to know, all right, and where they are, is I hear this constantly. I'm in the, you know, 25% tax bracket. After all my deductions, my taxable income is, we're married, and my taxable income is, you know, $110,000 or something like that.
Okay.
So I'm in the 25% tax bracket. Can you believe that of my $110,000, let's call it $100,000, let's back it up, $100,000 of taxable income, I have had to pay $25,000 in taxes because I am in the 25% tax bracket. And it would seem logical. you're in a tax bracket, you pay X, that's your taxable income is $100,000, that you would pay on every single dollar 25 cents. And that's simply
not true.
Well,
thankfully, it doesn't work that way.
No. Let's explain how it really does work.
Thankfully, we have different segments of our income. And not all of our income is taxed at the same level. It doesn't work that way. We have a certain amount of income that we don't pay taxes on at all, thanks to our standard deduction, thanks to some itemized deductions, if you have those, whichever is higher. For most people, we have a personal exemption for all the members of the household that you're claiming as dependents, you, yourself, your wife or your spouse, your kids, if you have dependent children. You get to take a deduction from your taxable income. It reduces your income. You don't pay tax on the amount of income equal to those deductions. You don't pay taxes on the income that you put into the 401k and your tax-deferred accounts. So all of that amount of income isn't subject to tax at all. But once you get through all the deductions and exemptions and everything, and you come up with, okay, so how much of my income do I pay taxes on? Well, you're probably not going to pay taxes at the same level on all of the income. The first portion of that income is taxed at a 10% bracket. And so what we do is we take an amount equal to the income bracket, the 10% bracket, which for a married couple is, you know, a little under $19,000. And we take that and we say, okay, you owe $1,900 on that block of your income. Now we're going to ignore that. We put the $1,900 in the column over here. We're going to add up later. But we ignore that $19,000. That's an approximation. It's not an exact number, but for a married couple, it's not too far off. And then the next block of income, if you fill up that entire block all the way up to $75,000, so what's that, 51,000 or so of income that's available in that block? If you have that amount of money of income, that's taxed in the 15% bracket. You figure out the tax on that, set that income aside, don't look at it again. Now, in John's example, there was 25,000 more over and above the 15% bracket. So that 25% of the overall taxable income of $100,000 was taxed at the 25% bracket. So you've got like 25,000 at the for 100,000 of taxable income. You've got 25,000 at 25%. You've got 50 some thousand dollars at 15% and about 18,000-19,000 at 10%. You pay each of those areas. You don't say, "Well, I'm at 100, so I pay 25 on the whole thing." You add up what you pay on the 10% bracket, add up what you owe in the 15% bracket, add up what you owe in the 25% bracket. That's your total tax bill. Now, from there, you look for, that's what I potentially will owe in taxes, but are there any credits that I'm available that I can get from? Maybe your taxes are $7,000 on that portion of the income. That's not an exact number. I'm just pulling it out of the air right now, just for illustration. Maybe the tax computation calculation comes up with $7,000, but I have two children, and I qualify for the child tax credit of $1,000 each. So that $7,000 in taxes gets reduced by the child tax credit, in this case, down to $5,000. So now I only owe $5,000. That's my tax I owe. That's only, in this hypothetical example, 5%. Some of it was at 10, some was at 15, some was at 25, but there was also credits after the fact. So you get deductions that reduce your taxable income and credits that reduce your tax. And the higher you go, the more taxes, obviously, you'll pay, because the more tax you're going to pay at the higher levels. But it doesn't negate the impact of the 10% bracket. It doesn't negate the impact, the ability to pay at a lower 15% bracket. And we're also assuming that all this income came from ordinary income sources, interest, ordinary dividends, passive income, your wages, IRAs, pensions, things like that. We're not talking about capital gains and or qualified dividends at this point.
No, there are a lot of different factors to this. I think I'm just trying to give a little illustration as to what we mean. We have people who are right on the edge of the 15% bracket, right? You have a married person who's at 70, you know, something thousand, whatever it is, but they're just in the top edge of the 15% bracket. And I've heard this, I'm getting a $10,000 bonus or a $5,000 bonus. I'm afraid to take it because now all of a sudden that bonus is going to be pretty much wiped out because now I'm in the next bracket and all my income is going to be taxed away.
Now,
and I don't want to take the bonus.
There's somebody sitting out there going, but that's true. The tax on a bonus is so much more. But there's a difference between what you actually owe in taxes and what they withhold as a tax withholding. Remember, on our paychecks, we have withholding. When we get a bonus, we have a withholding amount. So, you know, I might get that $10,000 bonus. Hey, anybody listening? $10,000 bonus, that'd be nice. And they withhold a prepayment towards my taxes that I owe. That is not the amount of money you owe in taxes. That's just a down payment. It may be more or less than what you actually owe when you calculate your taxes.
So if your friend's going to put you in the next bracket and you're going to be overtaxed, I would say take the bonus, okay? We got more coming up. If you need the brain trust off the air, you can talk to Professor Plum or any of the Lucia Capital Group advisors about all this stuff that they talk about on a daily basis. 800-644-1150. Another hour is just ahead. Stick around. Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.